Sunday, February 23rd, 2020. My weekly message. Revenge. Revenge. Revenge forms the basic plot for most guy movies. The bad guy hurts the girl, and that was his big mistake. He should have never messed with Arnold or Clint. Arnold says, "I'll be back." Clint says, "Go ahead, make my day." Revenge drives a lot of TV shows and movies. Don't get angry, get even. Some go so far as to say, get angry and get even. Today's gospel is a tough gospel, maybe as tough a gospel as there is. Jesus asks us to go against the most seductive part of our human nature, getting even. It applies to the relative we won't talk to, the former spouse we say nasty things about to our children, and the person at work we badmouth because he or she got the promotion we were after. Revenge. And that's just on the home front. Then there are the Sunnis and the Shiites, the Muslims and the Christians, the Israelis and the Palestinians, and we can't forget the politicians in Washington as well as all 50 states. The list goes on and on, feeding the most seductive part of our human nature, getting even. We listen to Jesus preaching to us today, but Jesus practiced what he preached. He both forgave the people who crucified him, and he made excuses for them. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Jesus quotes the Mosaic law that says, "An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." When this was originally stated, it was a call to moderation. In ancient times, tribes and armies imposed double revenge or more. Sadly, that is the natural tendency of the human heart. But Jesus goes beyond moderation. "I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil." Jesus says that if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one as well. Of course, this saying can be misused. It has caused some people to remain in an abusive situation and to become a battered spouse or beleaguered nation, living under an oppressive dictator. But to bring about change, a real and a lasting change, Jesus' words, "turn the other cheek," are right on, especially as a nonviolent way of bringing about social change. Jesus is not a dreamy idealist. He does not tell us to hold hands, affirm the other person's goodness, and sing Kumbaya, and then everything will be okay. Jesus is a realist. He knows more than any of us what works, what really works in the long run. There is an old Pogo cartoon that is often quoted. "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Jesus' final command has disturbed and challenged everyone for 2,000 years. You have heard it said, "Love your neighbor, hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus is not saying to love our enemies with the same love we have for family and friends. That love is called eros, or phileo. He asks us to show an agape love, a love of sincere goodwill. An agape love is not one of feelings. It is a love that is a decision. Abraham Lincoln was asked why he did not hate his enemies in the South. Lincoln responded, "Am I not destroying my enemies when I make friends of them?" Love of enemies is not a sign of weakness, but an expression of moral and spiritual strength. Jesus was a good psychologist. He knew we had a deep need to forgive, especially our enemies. Jesus taught that love possesses a healing balm. Revenge and hate make us sick, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Years ago, a widow from another parish came to see me. She was about 60 years old, and her husband had died of a sudden heart attack. He owned and operated a successful business. 3 days after his funeral, the accountants came and told her that the business was insolvent. He had never told her. She rolled up her sleeves, and with the help from the bank, she worked night and day for 10 years to save the business. Every Sunday as she left church, her pastor remarked about the wonderful husband she had and how she must miss him dearly. Her children and everyone else had him on a pedestal when they spoke about him. When she came to see me after 10 years of hard labor to save the business, a bitterness and a hate toward him had built up inside of her. She told me that I was the first person that she had said a word to about her husband and the business. I asked her how she felt. She said that she felt she had a rock the size of a bowling ball inside of her. She literally did. 3 months later, her doctor told her she had a large malignant tumor in her stomach. Hate makes us sick. Love possesses a healing balm. Jesus knows best. The most difficult words we pray every day are found in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The archaic word trespass means to cross the line. When we pray the Our Father, we are saying that we will forgive those who cross the line in our lives, so that we too might be forgiven for the times we too cross the line. If we refuse to forgive and demand a tooth for a tooth, then we want revenge more than we want Jesus in our hearts. The basic question we need to ask ourselves today is, who do you want to be for the rest of your life? Do I want to be a critical, cynical person who refuses to forget for a minute that so-and-so who owes me some money, who owes me an apology, who owes me a phone call, or who owes me a dinner invitation? These are the commonplaces in our lives where we need to muster heroic levels of patience, forgiveness, and love for our own mental, spiritual, and emotional health, and the happiness of those around us. It's time for you and me to move on. Who do you want to be for the rest of your life?